Okay. This week's Parsha's Pekudei. Let's share some Yisoidus in the Parsha. The Pasuk begins, Eila Pekudei HaMishkan. This is the accounting of the Mishkan. Mishkan HaEdus, the sanctuary of the testimony, of the Edus. Asher Pukad Alpi Moshe, which was counted by Moshe, Avodas Alevim, Biyadi Somar, Ben Aaron HaKoyim. And then the Pesukim go on in the Parsha. We have, for example, in Pasuk of Dalet, calculates the sum total of all the gold that was brought, and the sum total in Pasuk of Hey of all the silver, all the different items that were donated to the Mishkan. And the Parsha goes on to list the different items that were made in the Bigdei Kahuna and in the Kalim of the Mishkan. So Rav Moshe Feinstein, in his Sefer Drash Moshe, makes the following comment. Rashi says in the beginning of the parasha, Eila Pekudei, Rashi says, "Beparasha zu nimnu kol mishkalei nidvas ha-mishkan." In this week's parasha, all the amounts, all the measurements of the donations to the Mishkan are listed, are counted. L'kesef, l'zov, l'chayshes, v'nimnu kol kelov, l'chol avaydasai. And the Torah also lists all the different utensils that were used in the Mishkan for the Avodah, the Beis HaMikdash. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says like this, what's the point? What's the idea? The Torah has to tell us and give us an accounting, a record of how much gold was donated to the Mishkan. In Pasuk Chaf Dalet it says, Vayhi Zahav HaTznufa, the gold that was elevated, that was collected for the Mishkan was 29 kikar, 730 shekel b'shekel hakodesh. Why is that important for us to know exactly the sum total of gold, the sum total of the silver? What's the inyan behind it? What's the idea? What does this represent? So Rav Moshe says in the Sefer Drash Moshe, he says, I'll read you his words. Nire she'etzem ha'cheshben hu lahoyrois. Shetzarich ha'odom lasois cheshben al kol davar shenosin lo Hashem yizbarach. This week's parasha says Rav Moshe Feinstein that gives us an accounting of all the things that were donated to the Mishkan and how they built the different parts of the Mishkan. It teaches us a very important lesson, says Rav Moshe, that a person has to make a calculation. He has to assess and evaluate and calculate and recognize all the different things that Hashem gave him in his life. Bein al zman achayim, he has to have a reckoning for and an accountability. What he did with the things that Hashem gave him, the material wealth that Hashem gave him. But additionally, says Rav Moshe, we learn from this week's parasha that a person has to have an accounting. He has to have a record. He has to have a cheshbon for his time in this world, for his time in life. What did he do with his time? In Mekdisha L'Torah U'Mitzvahs, did he designate and dedicate his time for the study of Torah and performance of mitzvahs? O Chas V'Shalom Li'Ibud. Or did he waste his time? Did he kill his time? And a person has to have a cheshbon, he says, for the money that he has. What did he do with his money? Did he use it for tzedakah? What kind of tzedakah did he give it for? A person shouldn't think that there's a hefkerus, that things are unaccountable. Person is accountable for everything that he has, Takadish Baruch Hu. And he says that's the idea of this week's parasha. Eile Pekudei HaMishkan, Mishkan HaEdus, the Torah counts up everything that was brought to the Beis HaMikdash. Says in Moshe Al Pidrush, we can explain that from here we derive a lesson that we have the mitzvah, V'asuli Mikdash V'shachanti B'soicham, a person is supposed to create in himself a Mikdash, a sanctuary for the Shekhinah. In order to do so, he has to have an accounting. He has to make a cheshbon on nefesh. He has to account for everything that he has in this world. Is he using it properly or is he not using it properly? Is he utilizing his talents or is he not utilizing his talents? That's what Rav Moshe says is a insight that we could glean from the fact that Torah goes out of its way to spend an entire parsha counting up the different things that were brought for the Mishkan and all the different items that they built for the Mishkan. Pasuk here describes the Mishkan with this term, Mishkan Ha'edus. Eile Pekudei HaMishkan, this is the counting of the Mishkan. Mishkan Ha'edus, the Mishkan, the sanctuary of the testimony. What is it testimony about? Why is the Mishkan called Mishkan Ha'edus? So there's a few pshatim that I saw. Rashi says, Mishkan Ha'edus, Edus li Yisrael, the Mishkan is a testimony to the Jewish people. Sheviter lohem HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Maisa Egel, that Hashem forgave them for the sin of the golden calf. Sharei Hishre Shechinasoi Beinehem, because we see that after the Chet HaEgel, so they built the Mishkan, and they were able to build the Mishkan after they did Tshuva, they built the Mishkan, and the Mishkan was an atonement for the sin of the golden calf, and the divine presence rested again in the midst of Klal Yisrael. So Rashi explains the Pasuk, why is the Mishkan called Mishkan HaEdus? It's a testimony that Hashem forgave Klal Yisrael on the Chet HaEgel. That's what it's an Edus about. It's a testimony that they were forgiven for the Chet HaEgel. That's one pshat in Rashi. In the Das Kein and Bali Tosis, he quotes a Medrash, that the Medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu and Bezalel, they collected all the gold and all the silver, all the copper. So people maybe started to suspect them that maybe they were pocketing some of it for themselves. Maybe they were, you know, taking a little bit off, keeping it for themselves and becoming rich. So the Pasuk says, no, Mishkan HaEdus, the Mishkan was a testimony to Moshe Rabbeinu's honesty and to the honesty of Bezalel, that they didn't take not even a red cent for themselves. Everything was donated, was used for the Mishkan, and that's the accounting that the Pasuk says. That's the pshat of the Das Kainim, Bali Tosis. If you look, though, in the Sfornon, I don't know if you have a Chumash there with Mekrois Gedolos, any of you, but if you have a Chumash with Mekrois Gedolos, so it brings the commentary of the Sforno. The Sforno makes a fascinating comment over here in this Pasuk. I'll read it to you inside. It says, Mishkan HaEdus, Siper Mailois Zeha Mishkan. The Sforno says, the next two Psukim are describing the great attributes, the advantages of this Mishkan, of this sanctuary that was built in the Midbar, by Moshe Rabbeinu and Bezalel, Shebishvilam Oyeroi Liyos Nitzchi, that because of these qualities, it was worthy that this sanctuary would be eternal. Shloi Liperl Biad Oivim, that it would never be conquered by enemies. What are the reasons that this Mishkan was unique, which therefore gave it a special holiness, a special Kedusha, that it was not conquered by enemies and never fell into enemy hands? Rishoina, says the Sforno, the first Maila was Shahaya Mishkan HaEdus, that the Mishkan is called the sanctuary of the testimony. What testimony? Says the Sforno, Shahayu Bai Luchais HaEdus. It's called Mishkan HaEdus because it contains in it the Luchais HaEdus. The Luchos are called Luchais HaEdus. They're Luchos which are testimony to the fact that Hashem gave the Torah to Bnei Yisrael. The Matan Torah is testimony to Priya Sa'ilam, to the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to Matan Torah. The Luchas are called Luchas HaEdus. And the Mishkan is called Mishkan HaEdus because it contains in it the Luchas, which this reminds us of the famous Ramban that we mentioned back in Parashas Truma. The Ramban says that the main chafetz, the main object in the Mishkan is the Aron, because that's where the Luchos are contained, and that's where the Shekhinah comes down and rests upon, and from there, Moshe Rabbeinu heard Hashem's voice emanating from on top of the Aron, the Pasuk says. So the Luchos, that was the main part of the Mishkan, the Ramban writes. So says the Sforno, the Mishkan is called in this Pasuk, Mishkan HaEdus. Why is it called Mishkan HaEdus? Because it contains in it the Luchos. That's one Milah. The second Milo, the Pasuk says, Asher Pukad al Pi Moshe, that Moshe Rabbeinu directed the whole construction of the Mishkan. That was the second milah of the Mishkan. The third milah is the next phrase in the pasuk, Avoida Salavim Biyadi Samar, that it was the job of the Levim under Isamar, and that Bezalel ben Uri ben Chur in Pasuk Chaf Beis, he built the Mishkan according to the directive of what Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to do. So says the Sforno, what is the Milah there? What is the Pasuk describing when it tells us that the Levim under Isamar, they were the ones that served in the Mishkan, and that the Mishkan was built by Bezalel? He says, Shahayu Rasha Umne Melechas HaMishkan V'Kelov Miyuchasim V'Tzadikim Shebedar. The people that built the Mishkan in the Midbar were the great Tzadikim of the generation. People who had great Ichus, who came from great lineage. They were Tzadikim, descendants of Tzadikim. U'bechein Sharas HaShechina B'Maisi Yadayim V'Loi Nofel B'Yad Oivin. And therefore, the Shechina rested upon their hands and they were successful, and the Mishkan never fell in the hands of enemies. Because it had these qualities. What are these qualities? It was number one, Mishkan HaEdus. It had in it the Luchos HaEdus, the Luchos HaBris. Secondly, it was built under the direct supervision of Moshe Rabbeinu. It was built by Bezalel, it was great tzaddik. So it was a very holy sanctuary and it never fell in the hand of enemies. But says the Sforno, Aval Mikdash Shlomo, but the first Beis HaMikdash that was built by Shlomo HaMelech, Shehoyu Oivda HaMelech HaBoy Mitzur, the workers, we know from Tanakh, were non-Jews from the city of Tzur, Tyre, it's in Lebanon. They brought from there different items to build the Mishkan, to build the Beis HaMikdash, and they sent workers. So he says, even though there was Ashras HaShechina in the first Beis HaMikdash, but parts of it were destroyed, and in the end, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, the first Beis HaMikdash. And by Yesheni, he says the Sforno, which didn't have the same level of Kedusha as by Yesrishon, because the Gemara says that by Yesheni, they did not have the Aron. In by Yesheni, they didn't have the Aron. The Aron wasn't there in the Beis HaMikdash. So says the Sforno, it was not considered by Yesheni a Mishkan HaEdus. It didn't have that level of being the sanctuary for the Luchos. And therefore there was no Ashras HaShechina, he says, in Bai Yesheni. There was no Nevuah at the time of Bai Yesheni. And it was captured and destroyed by the Romans. So the Sforno here explains that the Pasuk is describing what is the greatness of the Mishkan. In terms of it being called Mishkan HaEdus, is that it contained in it the Luchos, and because it had the Luchos, therefore, it was never destroyed. The Mishkan that was built by Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't destroyed. It brought to Eretz Yisrael. I don't know exactly what happened to the Mishkan, but it was never destroyed by Goyim. That's the shot here, the Sforno, in that first in the first pasuk, why it's called Mishkan HaEdus. So just another idea in Sefer called Zahav Mishva, that he says that again elaborating that we see from the Ramban that the central part of the Mishkan is the Aron, that's where the Shekhinah rests upon. So the Mishkan is a place, it's a testimony that there's Ashras HaShechina we saw in Rashi, and Ashras HaShechina comes about from that's where Torah emanates from. Ashras HaShechina is connected to the Torah. He says, where is the place where Hashem talks to Moshe Rabbeinu from? From on top of the Aron, on the Kapores, between the two Kruvim that are facing one another. The two Kruvim represent people learning Torah together, like the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, that Shnayim Sha'oiskim B'divrei Torah, if there are two people that learn together Torah, Shechina Shruya Beinayim, the Shechina rests between them. So from there we see that what brings Ashras HaShechina is when people learn Torah together and they're looking to help one another, Pnei Amish Elochiv, they're facing one another like the two Kruvim, they're looking to help each other out in Torah, that brings about Ashras HaShechina. That's why The Mishkan is called Mishkan HaEdus because it has in it the Aron, which has on it the Kapiris, which has on it the two Kruvim that are facing one another, that represent that when people learn Torah together in a spirit of friendship, of helping one another out, Pnei Mishel Achiv, their face was facing to one another to help each other out, that brings Hashra'as HaShechina. Pasuk says in Perek Lamed Ches, Pasuk of Beis, Betzalel ben Uri ben Chur lemati Yehuda osis kalash etziva Hashem es Moshe. Says that Betzalel, son of Uri, son of Chur, from the tribe Yehuda, he carried out all that Hashem had instructed and commanded Moshe Rabbeinu. So there's a very famous Rashi on this pasuk. Rashi says, if you look inside of pasuk of Beis, Rashi's medayik, asher tziva oso Moshe enksiv kan. Doesn't say in the pasuk that Betzalel carried out that which Moshe Rabbeinu told him to do. It says, "Ubetzalel also es kol asher tziva Hashem es Moshe." He did whatever Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu. It should have said, "L'chora Betzalel did whatever Moshe instructed him Betzalel to do." That's what he carried out and fulfilled. Says Rashi, "El kol asher tziva Hashem es Moshe afilu dvarim shlo yomalei Rabbi." That even matters that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't directly tell him, but Bezalel understood on his own that you have to do things a certain way, and that was actually the way that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. Explains Rashi, what does this mean? Moshe Rabbeinu told Bezalel to make first the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. The menorah, the shulchan, the mizbeach, the aron, he commanded him about the kelim first. Amalei Betzalel. Betzalel said back to Moshe Rabbeinu, Minog ha'olam, the general practice in the world is, Lasa is tchila bayis, first you make a house, v'achar kach meisim kelim b'toichoy, and then you put the vessels or the furniture into the house. You don't buy furniture before you have a house. First you get yourself a house. Then you buy furniture. You buy a couch. You buy a dining room set. You don't go first shop for a dining room set before you have a place to put it in. Omar loy, kach shamati mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, you know, you're right. I forgot. That's actually what Hashem told me. Hashem told me you should first make the Mishkan and then make the Kelim. Omar Moshe said to Bezalel, Bezalel Kelo Yisa, you are in the shadow of Hashem, right? Your name is Bezalel. Bezalel, we could divide it into two words, Bezalel Kel. You're in the shadow of God. Vadai kach tzivul HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what Hashem told me to do. V'chein osa ha-mishkon tchila v'achar kach osa ha-kelim. And that's what it means in this pasuk, that Bezalel did whatever Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu. It's teaching us that Bezalel made the Mishkan first, and then he made the Kelim, even though Moshe Rabbeinu told him to make the Kelim first. Bezalel said it doesn't make sense. The Minhag HaOlam, the general Mahalach, how you do things, first you have a house, then you make the furniture. So he told that to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu said, you know, you're right, that's actually what Hashem told me, and you must be Bezalel Kel, you must be in the shadow of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Famous Rashi. So I saw a very interesting pshat in the Sefer Som Derech from Rav Simcha Zissel Breida, the Rosh Yeshiva of Chevron Yeshiva, former Rosh Yeshiva of the Chevron Yeshiva, which is across the road over here in Gibbat Mordechai. He asked the following question. He says, the Gemara tells us that Bezalel, I think it's Gemara in Brachas, Gemara says that Yodea Bezalel L'tzaref Osios Shebohem Nivru Shemayim Varetz. Bezalel had such great wisdom, as the pasuk described, and we mentioned the pasuk the other day, Parshas Kisisa, says, Re'ei Karasi B'Shem Bezalel Ben Uri Ben Chur L'mati Yehuda V'amale Yoisoi Ruach Elokim B'chochmo B'tvuno B'das B'chol Melacha. Hashem says, I filled Bezalel with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, understanding, to know how to do all different kinds of crafts, L'achshoiv Machshavois. And the Mefarshim explained that it means he knew the deep secrets of what all the different things in the Mishkan represent and how building the Mishkan and putting each keli in the proper place and building it with the right kavana has tremendous metaphysical influence on the world, brings down blessing and hashpa into the world. So Bezalel, he was a great, great chacham, and he was a great, you would call maybe mekubal, right? He knew Kabbalah, he knew the deep secrets. Gemara says he knew Yodea Bezalel Hoya. Bezalel knew Litzaref Bohem Oisiois, how to arrange the letters Shebahem Nivru Shemayim Va'aretz, that the heaven and earth was created. He knew, he understood how Hashem, through his speech, so to speak, created the world with the letters of the Aleph Beis. Vayomer, each of the Vayomer Hashem Yihyar, each of the world was created through Hashem's speech. So Bezalel knew how to arrange the letters in such a way to create heaven and earth. So, asks Rav Simcha Zitzel Breida, if Moshe Rabbeinu here in this week's parasha is telling Bezalel, as Rashi quotes, you really, you know, I see you're Bezalel Kelo Yisa, you're in the shadow of Hashem. You mamish have such great understanding and perception, you would think that what would he be praising him for? The fact that when he made the Kalim and the Mishkan, he did it with all these great kavanas. He had this very high kavanas, very high intentions. He was able to be mechaven, you know, keneged, all these heavenly things, spheres, accomplished tikkunim, the heavenly worlds, yichudim. That's not what it says. It says, why does he praise him? He praises him because Bezalel said to him, you know, it's not proper to first make the vessels, the utensils, before you have the sanctuary to put it into. It's not proper to make the furniture or to obtain furniture, procure furniture, before you have a house. It's not the minhag ha'olam. So that's a reason that Moshe Rabbeinu should say, Bezalel Kel Ha'isa, you're living in the shadow of Hashem, you have such great understanding. What's the pshat in Chazal? So the Sefer Sam Derech, he says the following. He says that Bezalel Takanu, he gives a mashal. He says, let's say you have a very intricate, you know, machine, computer. And the guy comes along and he opens it up and he decides he's going to move around, you know, one wire from one place and attach it to another place. Because it looks a little bit more neat that way. It'll be neater. So if he arranges it, and it works now, you know, in a better way. So that's a raya that when he changed the wire, he knew the machine so well that he understood that changing this wire is not going to do any damage. It's not going to be detrimental. And on the contrary, it's going to make it better. So sometimes from a small change that a person, you know, makes, something small that a person does, it's a reflection on the greatness of his understanding. So says the Sam Derech, from Simcha Zitzel Breida, that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he heard the Svara from Bezalel, that Bezalel said to Moshe Rabbeinu, it's not appropriate, it's not the minhag ha'olam, it's not Derech Eretz, to work on the Kalim before you make a Mishkan. It's not Derech Eretz, so to speak, it's not minhag ha'olam. So he understood that Bezalel knows the Seidus of the Mishkan so well that he understands that here a lack of Derech Eretz would be a pegam in the Mishkan. It would be a chesaron in the Mishkan. Even though to us we would think, what's the difference if you make the Kalim first or you make the Mishkan first? Why should that matter? But Bezalel, he understood that since it's not the minhag ha'olam, it's not proper, it's not Derech Eretz, that would be, for some reason, a chesaron in creating this Mishkan. So that was a raya to his godless, to how deep he understood the different matters of the Mishkan. So says Reb Simcha Zitzel Breida, based on this, he says we can learn out that even if to what seems to be something that's just a matter of common sense, of etiquette, that normally you make a house, you have a house first, then you get the furniture. And still, that was something that apparently Bezalel understood was important to be done in the Mishkan, that if the Mishkan was built in the opposite manner, that would be a chesaron, that would be a lack, that would be a deviation of how things are supposed to be done. It would be a chesaron in the Mishkan, it would not be shalem, it would not be complete if there was a certain lack of derech eretz, so to speak. So he says, kal v'chaymer, when you have real derech eretz that relates to meinodim l'chaveiro, how people relate to one another, to what extent that we have to take that into consideration, that that's something that is obligatory, that can't create a matzav, a place of kedusha, with a chesaron and derech eretz. There's a chesaron and midos. You can only create a place of hashra'as hashchina if it goes together with derech eretz and proper midos. That's what Reb Simcha Zisl Broida says. You can learn out of this Rashi. So pasuk of Dalit, it says kol asav ha'asil melacha b'chol meleches hakodesh. Says they counted up all the gold that they used for all the different jobs that they needed gold for. And it gives an accounting of all the gold that they collected. So in the Or Chaim HaKadosh, the Or Chaim says that if it tells us exactly, it says, Vayihiza, Havat Nufa, there's a repetition in the pasuk. It says, Kol Azov, Ha'asim Lecha, L'malacha B'chom Lecha HaKadosh, all the gold that was used to work all the holy jobs, it equaled, Vayhi Azov, equaled 29 kikar, 730 shekel, b'shekel HaKadosh. So if it says, kol azov ha'asui, it should just say, tshave esim kikar, shivame yoysu shloshim, b'shekel HaKadosh. Why does it repeat and say again, Vayhi Zahav HaTznufa? So the Or Chaim HaKadosh says the following. He says that the pasuk is teaching us two points. He says, one is that that they used all of the gold that was donated. Nothing got stolen. Nothing was misused. Everything was utilized for the kelim and the mikdash. And he says the additional like nace that the pasuk is pointing out here is that normally when you would work with gold or silver or copper, so and you have to shape it and form it into different works of art. So there's always going to be, like shavings or little bits and pieces that when you're working with it are going to fall to the trash and you're not going to end up using. Pasuk here is saying no. The Pasuk says, Kol azov ha'asui l'malacha. All the gold that was donated was used for the malacha. Nothing was diminished. They were able to utilize every single ounce of gold that was donated for the kelim and the mikdash. That's what the pasuk is coming to teach us, says the Or Chaim. Pasuk in Perek Lamed Tes, pasuk Lamed Beis. We'll skip a little bit. Perek Lamed Tes, pasuk Lamed Beis. Pasuk says, "Vateichel kol avodas mishkan oil moed." They completed all of the work of the mishkan. Vayasu bnei Yisrael kol asher tziva Hashem es Moshe. Bnei Yisrael did all that Moshe Rabbeinu had commanded them. Kenosu, that's what they did. So if you look in the parasha, it repeats many times this phrase that they did it, kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe. They did it the way Hashem commanded Moshe, by each of the different items in the Mikdash, the Mishkan. It says, for example, if you look in Pasuk, going back in Perek Lamites, Pasuk Hey, when it talks about the Eifod, Kashin Tziva Hashem Es Moshe, when it talks about the Avnei Shoam, in the Pasuk Zayin, Kashin Tziva Hashem Es Moshe, the Choshen, it says again, Kashin Tziva Hashem Es Moshe, by all the different objects, it says they were made, Kashin Tziva Hashem Es Moshe, and then again, Pasuk Lamed Beis, it says that they completed all of the work, and they did it the way Hashem instructed Moshe Rabbeinu, that's how they did it, Kein Asu. So the Mefarshim are bothered. Why does it say so many times, Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe? What's the idea behind this? So there's a very famous Beis Halevi, which we once mentioned. The Beis Halevi says, Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe is that the Chet HaEgel, the root cause of the Chet HaEgel was that Klal Yisrael thought that we could serve Hashem using our own reasoning, our own logic. God didn't tell us to make a golden calf, but this is how we think we can serve Him. This makes what makes sense to us, that this should be our intermediary to serve God. So says the Beis Halevi, the root sin of the Chet HaEgel was that they placed their own logic as the basis of why to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they served God relying purely on their own logic, as opposed to just relying on the fact that it's a tzivui, it's God's commandment. So the tikkun for the Chet HaEgel, says the Beis HaLevi, is the building of the Mishkan. That's why in this week's parasha, when they built the Mishkan and the Bigdei Kahuna, so the Torah repeats many, many times that everything was done, Kasha Tziva Hashem Es Moshe, exactly how Hashem commanded Moshe Rabbeinu, that's how they did it, in order to teach us that they rectified their sin. Their sin was that they made the mistake of thinking we should rely on our own logic in terms of how to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the way we understand is what we should do. That's how you should act according to what you understand. So that was a mistake. Person has to follow the tzivui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the mitzvah, the commandment. And that's what makes the tikkunim in the heavenly worlds. The fact that you're following the commandment of Hashem. This idea is expressed also by the Nefesh HaChaim. Not sure if we got to it really yet, Scott. But the Nefesh HaChaim, Chaim Voloshin, he says that a person does a mitzvah with proper kavana, so it can have a tremendous effect on the cosmos, on the heavenly worlds, on this world, bringing down influence into this world. But what makes that accomplishment is not your kavana per se, says Reb Chaim Voloshiner, but rather it's the fact that you're fulfilling the will of Hashem. That's what makes those tikkunim in the heavenly worlds and brings down blessing into this world. Therefore, says Reb Chaim Voloshiner, if a person is going to, let's say, have a lot of kavanis and tikkunim, and he's going to daven Shmona Esrei for Shachris at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, so that doesn't do anything. Why? Because he's not doing the Ratzon Hashem. And if he does the Ratzon Hashem without all those great kavanis, so he will have that accomplishment. Because what makes that tikkun in the world is the fact that you're fulfilling Ratzon Hashem. That's what Reb Chaim Voloshiner explains in Nefesh HaChaim. That's the idea over here, Parashas Pekudei, the same idea in the Beis HaLevi, that the Beis HaLevi says, why does the Torah repeat so many times that everything was done? Kasha, Tziva Hashem, Es Moshe, is that they rectified in the building of the Mishkan the Chet, the mistake of the Chet HaEgel, which was that they relied on their own Svara, their own ideas, as opposed to realizing that the Mechayiv of Avodas Hashem is that it's the Tzivui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have to follow the Tzivui of Hashem. And that's what makes the big tikkunim also. It's not the kavanis. That's what Chaim Voloshiner explains. I saw an interesting, though, different point, you know, this pasuk from the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. The Or HaChaim says the following. It says, Vayasu, in Perek Lamed Tes, Pasuk Lamed Beis, Vayasu b'nei Yisrael, k'chol asher tziva Hashem es Moshe. B'nei Yisrael did everything that Hashem commanded Moshe Rabbeinu. Even though, ask the Or HaChaim, who built the Mishkan? The Bezalel built the Mishkan. Not all the Jews built the Mishkan. Okay, maybe they all participated by donating to the Mishkan. But how could it say, Vayasu B'nai Yisrael? B'nai Yisrael as a whole did all that Hashem commanded Moshe Rabbeinu. Only Bezalel built the Mishkan. So why is it called Vayasu B'nai Yisrael? They did whatever Hashem commanded. So the Or HaChaim gives a few different shatim. He says an interesting pshat. He brings that there's a medrash in Parshas Kedoshim on the pasuk Vahafta L'Reicha Kamoicha. Says that the medrash says, or maybe it's his own pshat in the pasuk Vahafta L'Reicha Kamoicha. He says, what's the idea behind the mitzvah Vahafta L'Reicha Kamoicha? He says the reason why we have a mitzvah Vahafta L'Reicha Kamoicha is because since Klal Yisrael is all like one goof, like one person, so you should love your friend because your friend is like you. When he does something good, when he does a mitzvah, it counts for you also. It counts for you as well. So v'ahavta l'reyacha, you should love your friend. Why? Because he's kamoicha, he's mamish like you. He's a chelik of you, so to speak. And through him, he's mashlim, whatever you're lacking. He says, this is a famous idea, that we know that we're commanded to keep Tarayag mitzvahs. How does any Jew fulfill Tarayag mitzvahs? Many mitzvahs don't apply to all Jews. For example, most people are not Kohanim. They don't have the mitzvah of doing Avodin Beis HaMikdash, of Birchas Kahuna. So how do we fulfill the mitzvahs which are commanded to the Kohanim? We who are Yisraelim, how do we fulfill those mitzvahs? The answer is, says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, is that Klal Yisrael as a whole does the mitzvahs and it counts for each and every Jew. When you do a mitzvah, it counts not only for yourself, it counts for other Jews as well. And similarly, in the Tzad Arach, Chas V'Shalom, and Aveira is also the accountability for someone else as well. So he says, that's the pshat over here, why the Pasuk says, Vayasu B'nei Yisrael, K'chol Asher Tziv Hashem Es Moshe. The Pasuk describes the entire nation as performing that which Moshe Rabbeinu had commanded, even though it was really only Bezalel and a few assistants that worked on the actual building of the Mishkan, but it's attributed to the whole nation, to the whole Klal Yisrael, because of this concept of Arvus, of Kol Yisrael, Arevim Zelo Zeh, and that when one person does a mitzvah, it's mashlim for someone else who doesn't have that opportunity to do that mitzvah. So any person, when you do a mitzvah, you have to bear in mind that you're doing this mitzvah, it's not just something which is you yourself are chayiv to do, and it's not just something which is going to be beneficial for the Klal Yisrael, for the nation as a whole, and can have great accomplishments in for the world. But mamish, when you do a mitzvah, you're doing it on behalf of someone else as well. Your mitzvah is going to count for someone else too. So you have to keep that in mind when you do a mitzvah, because the Torah, he says, is fulfilled through the chibur of Klal Yisrael together as a whole, as a nation. That's how we all mekayim the Torah. Otherwise, the many mitzvahs that we wouldn't be able to be mekayim. That's what the Aruch Chaim says here in Perek Lamed Tes, Pasuk Lamed Beis. One last thought that I wanted to mention on the parasha. So the next pasuk, Perek Lamed Tes, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, it says, "Vayoviu es haMishkan al Moshe." They brought the Mishkan to Moshe Rabbeinu as oil, the tent, that's called Kalov, and all the different vessels, the Aron, the Shulchan, etc. Krosov, the hooks, Krosov, the beams, Brichov, the poles that supported it, Vamudov, Adonov, etc., etc. Okay, talks in the next few psukim list all the different things that they brought to the Mishkan. They brought it to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu saw all the work that they did. He gave them a bracha. That's the end of the parak. So the famous Rashi in Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Pasuk says, "Vayoviu es haMishkan." They brought the Mishkan to Moshe Rabbeinu. So says Rashi, why they bring the Mishkan to Moshe Rabbeinu? Because they were unable to actually stand it up. They weren't able to erect it to stand the poles up. And Moshe, says Rashi, hadn't done any real work on the Mishkan. Lefisha layasa Moshe shum malacha b'mishkan. Since Moshe Rabbeinu didn't do any work in the Mishkan, hiniach le'akadosh baruch hu akamasai. Hashem left him the last job, which was to actually put it up, to stand it up. Shlohay yachal lakim ha'yishumadu machmas kovid akroshin. No one could lift it. It was so heavy. Shein koyach ba'adam lezakfa. No one could lift these beams and gold. Everything was too heavy. Umoshe ha'amido. Moshe Rabbeinu, he lifted it, put it in place. Amar Moshe lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Eich efshir ha'kamosai ha'idei adam. So Moshe said to Hashem, how is it possible for a human being to lift these objects, which is way too heavy? I saw Rabbi Yudin had a sefer with him this morning, made a calculation. I'm not really exactly sure how the sefer made this calculation, but he said the calculation that somehow each of the krushim weighed over a ton. Just one beam that was plated with gold weighed about a ton. So how is it humanly possible? So Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, "Amalei asoik ato biyodcha." Just be involved. Use your hands and get involved and try to lift it up. Nirekim akimoi, says Rashi, it looked as though Moshe Rabbeinu lifted these objects. He lifted the boards. V'hu niskaf v'kam me'elov. But really, it was on its own. Shenemar hukam ha'mishkan hukam me'elov. It says, b'yoyim hukam ha'mishkan. On the day the Mishkan was erected. Why does it say hukam ha'mishkan, that the Mishkan was erected? Says Rashi, because it was erected by itself. It was like, automatic. It popped up. But Moshe Rabbeinu, he was trying to lift it. He was holding it. It looked as though he lifted it. That's what Rashi says at the end of this pasuk. So there's a very famous idea that I saw brought down in the Sefer Lekach Toiv from which is a collection of different Musa Svarim. He brings down in the name of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter and Chafetz Chaim the same idea that in Yiddishkeit, person gets schar not for his accomplishment, but you get schar for the effort, for the amelus, for the toil and the work that you put into it. What's the raya? Right, it says, we say this by every siyum, and it's Gemara and Brachas. Anu amelim amekablam schar, heim amelim ve'ena amekablam schar. We toil and we get reward, they toil, they don't get reward. So the Chafetz Chaim has a very famous explanation on that statement. He asks, what does this mean, they toil and they don't get reward? Let's say a person is a banker or he's a lawyer. He works hard and he gets a reward. He's got a nice paycheck at the end of the month. What does it mean? We toil and we get reward. They toil, they don't get reward. Explains the Chafetz Chaim, the answer is that in the secular world, a person does not get a reward for his effort. He gets a reward for his accomplishments. If you would bring, he says, you know, some cloth to a tailor, and you'd ask him, please make me a suit, and he'd take your measurements. He's going to make you a custom-made, custom-tailored suit exactly to your size. And you say, make up, okay, when it'll be ready. He says, in 6 weeks' time. You come back in 6 weeks, and he doesn't have anything, nothing. He has half a leg of pants. Half, you know, one side of the pants. So you'll say, what happened? He said, well, I was working hard the whole month, but just wasn't coming together. I was working very hard. He's working. You're not going to pay him because there was no results. You pay for the results. You pay for the accomplishment. Person did a job, you pay him. He didn't do the job. Who cares? He tried hard. Tough luck. You pay for the results. However, says the Chafetz Chaim, by Torah, it's not like that. By Torah, a person gets schar for the amelus itself. If you work hard when you're learning, even if you don't have any accomplishment, you schwitzed over the Gemara, and you don't understand the Gemara. You came out at the end of morning Seder, you still don't understand pshat in the Gemara. But you worked hard the whole Seder, you get schar, you get a reward, because the schar is for the amelus. And Rabbi Yisrael Salanter used to famously say, he says, a yid daf ton, nisht uf ton, which means a Jew has to do, not accomplish. You have to just try your best. You have to do. You have to give it your all. You give it your all. Give it a full effort. Leave the accomplishments to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if Hashem wants that your efforts should be blessed with success, He'll bless it with success. If Hashem doesn't think that that's what should be, He doesn't want that to happen, so then it won't be successful. But the main thing is a person has to do his best. He has to try his hardest. He has to do. He has to throw himself into it and do and put in the effort. And get the schar for the effort, not for the accomplishment, not for the result. So that's what the Bali Musa say is the idea over here in this Chazal, that Hashem brought Moshe, the Klal Yisrael brought the Mishkan to Moshe Rabbeinu, that he should erect the Mishkan. And even though it was basically humanly impossible to erect the Mishkan, but Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, Asayk ata biyodcha, try with your hands. And it looked as though he was lifting the Mishkan, even though really Hashem was making the Mishkan rise and stand in its place, because a person just has to try his best. He has to try his hardest. He has to put in the effort and leave the accomplishment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will then bless his efforts with success. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, we'll stop here. Everyone should have a great Shabbos and a good Chodesh. Okay.